Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Kuf Yud Dalet. We are holding on the very top of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph at the second line of the page. I Bayu Lahu. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, Natzlacha, for our soldiers and for our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to talk about is we started the sugi yesterday of Misadrin, that when you go and you take a mashkon, so what do you have to make sure that the person who you're taking it from still has, in order to be able to get on with his life, in order to be able to have his bare basic necessities. So the Gemara is going to have a discussion whether in general we are Misadrin the Baal Chov. You go to collect a Chov, do you make sure that the person you're collecting from has what he needs or not? The Gemara is going to try to bring a couple of rayas, meaning the only place the Torah talks about misadrin is when it comes to arachin. So the question is, can we learn from there or not? Then the Gemara is going to talk about why it is that we don't return a mashkon that is collected by hegdish. When it comes to balchov, you do return the mashkon. You return the mashkon regularly as needed. We spoke about returning his nighttime clothing for night, his work, the things he needs for work during the day. So why is it by hegdish that we don't have any such din of returning the mashkon? Then the Gemara is going to record a conversation that took place between Rabba Bar Avuha and Eliyahu HaNavi, which primarily consisted of Shailos LaHalacha. The Rabba Bar Avuha had questions in Halacha, so he consulted with Eliyahu HaNavi. And then once they were talking about that, they also spoke about Rabba Bar Avuha's intense dedication to learning Torah as well. The Anamid Beis, the Gemara is going to go through different rules between returning a mashkon that belongs to an ani versus a mashkon that belongs to an ashir. That when you return a mashkon, how it may be different if the fellow that owes you the money is an ashir anyway. The Gemara is then going to have a brisa which tells us that, you know what, you don't really have to return a mashkon. That enu chayiv lahachzir lo. So the Gemara is going to wonder about that. What do you mean enu chayiv lahachzir lo? We just spent the better part of two dapim about exactly how and when and what the rules are about being machzir lo. How can you say enu chayiv lahachzir lo? So the Gemara is going to have two explanations of what that means when we say eno chayiv lahachzir lo. Then we're going to talk about the reference the Mishnah made to returning clothing, nighttime clothing, daytime clothing. So which clothing gets returned exactly when in order to make sure that the fellow has what he needs. And then at the very end of the daf, we'll see if we get to it, the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan is going to raise the issue of what happens if a lova dies while he's in possession of the mashkon. Can the malva take it back? Meaning, I was kind enough as a malva to give you back your pajamas for nighttime, and then you went and died in your sleep. So now, well I guess then his clothing's on him, gets an interesting shilas. But whatever, then as he was before he returned it back to me, the fellow died. So am I allowed to take that mashkon as payment? Normally, metalti diasmi are not meshubad lebal chov. So is this considered metalti diasmi, which are not meshubad to a bal chov? So let's begin again, second line of the page on daf kuf yudal ramal. Yibayilu maushe sadru lebal chov. When we collect the chov from the lova, do we say that we leave him those things that he needs in order to be able to survive, or do we collect all of his nechasim, all of his kelim? And mi gamar micha micha me arachin. Do we learn from the din of a lova, from a gzera shava, that in both of them it says loshna micha, that legabe adam who takes an eruchin vow to hegdish and he doesn't have mamun to pay, we do not take all of his nechasim, we leave him with kedei chayev. So maybe the same din should be true when it comes to a balchov. Alo, or do we not learn such a din? Where does it say micha? What does that mean? Isn't micha a name? So no, it's referring to the pasuk says by Erechin, v'im mach hu me'erkecha ve'amidu l'fnei ha'koin ve'erechos ha'koin al pi asher tasik yadadod yarechenu ha'koin. Pasuk says if he's mach hu me'erkecha, he doesn't doesn't have, he's too destitute, he doesn't have the money to pay, so then we are misadrin. And so you see that the Kohen has to figure that out, that we leave him whatever kelim he needs, kedei chayev. By a Balchov it says, v'chi yomuch achicha umata yado imach. Now, there's a mitzvah to lend somebody money when a person is in trouble, when a person needs help, he needs financial help. So in fact, the Chafetz Chaim has a sefer Avas Chesed, where he talks about mitzvahs b'ron l'chavero, a huge section of that sefer is dedicated to the mitzvah of lending money. You would think it's all about tzedakah, because that's typically what we do with our money, how we do chesed with our money. A huge section is about that mitzvah of lending money to somebody else. Now, the way Rashi and several other Rishonim understand the machlokes tanakam and Shmuel Liel in our Mishnah is whether misadrin lebalchov, meaning this shaila the Gemara is raising right now, is in fact the machlokes tanaim we had in our Mishnah, that the tanakam said misadrin lebalchov, and therefore the malva is never able to sell the mashkon in order to collect his chov. He has to keep on giving it back forever. Whereas Shmuel Liel said, no, after 30 days, if the guy hasn't figured out how to pay you back, you take the mashkon, you sell it, and now you're paid back. So apparently, ain misadrin the balchov according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, because yeah, for 30 days you'll keep giving back, but after 30 days you sell it, because that's it, you need to get paid back. So the way Rashi learns, the Gemara is really asking over here, or and it's beferish this way in other Rishonim, the Ramban and the Ran, whether halacha ketana kama or halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is not a new shaila, it's the machlokas we already had, and it's just a shaila who to paskin like. However, Rabbi Tam is quoted by the Rishonim that the issue in our Mishnah is only when the Malva wants to take a mashkon not for the sake of collecting his chov, but rather in order to force the Lova, to encourage the Lova to pay. So that's where you have machlokes tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel, meaning this mashkon is not meant to be my collection of the chov. This mashkon is to try to make you uncomfortable enough that you're going to not want to have to do this dance every day where you get back the mashkon and give it back, and that you're going to want to pay the chov. So the Gemara suffix over here is, when you come to actually collect the actual chov, are we misadrin or not? So even though we had a brisa earlier that said misadrin balchov, and the chor, it's not a suffix, the suffix was whether we paskin like this brisa or not. So meaning that's our suffix, do we paskin like this, that brisa of misadrin balchov or not? So anyway, so that's the shaila. So tashema, so the Gemara says, let's try to bring a raya whether we are misadrin lebalchov. The Shalach Ravin be Igarte. Rava sent a shaila. Rava sent in his Igeres a tshuva to this shaila. Davarzeh, he says, Sha'alti l'kol rabosai. This issue, whether Masadin Balchov, is something that we could derive from the Parsha of Arachim, is something that I've asked my Rebbeim, v'lo amr li davar, and I didn't have a Mesorah on this issue. Biram, kachoy, so sha'ila. However, there was another shaila that was asked in the Beis Medrash, and from that other shaila, I'm able to derive what the halacha is over here. Ha'omer, ha'rei alay mana lebedek habayis. Let's say a person takes a nedel lebedek habayis, where it doesn't have the same din that you have by Arachin, where you give whatever you can, meaning if you take an Erech Val that's beyond your capacity to pay, you give whatever you have and then you're putter from the rest. That's by Erechin. But over here, you have to give what you have and then the rest is a chov that you're going to have to pay up later. So the Shaila was, when they come to collect from the Noder, the person who took a Neder, the Bedek Abayis, Mau Sheyisadru. Do we collect everything he's got, or do we leave him with certain Kalim that he needs in order to be able to live a normal life, just like we do for Arachin? So Ravin explains that this is machlokas amoraim. If a person is no del bedek abayis, Rabbi Yaakov mishmei de barpada of Rabbi Yirmiyah mishmei de Ilfa Amri. Rabbi Yaakov mishmei de barpada and Rabbi Yirmiyah in the name of Ilfa. Ilfa was the one the Gemara in Tainis tells us was Rabbi Yochanan's chavrusa, and he went into business while Rabbi Yochanan went back to yeshiva because Rabbi Yochanan heard the bas kol. Ilfa didn't hear the bas kol. But he's a big talmid chacham. We quote him in the Gemara, not as frequently as we quote Rabbi Yochanan, but nevertheless, so that they said that we can learn the din of Nadir Lagdish Kal v'chomer mi Balchov, as a Kal v'chomer from Balchov. Uma Balchov shemach zirin. a misadrin, a balchov, where we have to return whatever we're taking from him throughout the first 30 days, because and nevertheless, when we collect the chov from him after 30 days, we're ein misadrin lo, we collect everything from him, so meaning when at the end of the 30 days, when it comes time to actually collect, we are ein misadrin, we're merciless, we take whatever it is that's going to pay back the chov. So hegdish she'ein machzirin, hegdish where there's no din of machzirin at any point along the way, so inudin shein misadrin. All the more so that when we collect from him, we're not going to be misadrin. We're going to collect everything. So you could see that we're poshet this suffix because it says beferish that ein misadrin lebalchov. That we are it took it as a double pashut that ein misadrin lebalchov. Now Tosas raises the kasha: how can you learn this kalvachomer? The din of erich in yochiach, meaning there's a third din that shows that this cheshbin is incorrect. That not every time that we're ein machzirin are we also ein misadrin. Sadrin, because by Eruchin, by Eruchin, we're Ein Machzirin, and nevertheless, we are yes, Misadrin. We are not Gova Kol Nechasov when it comes to Eruchin. That's the very basis for the idea of Misadrin. So Tosa suggests that the din of Arachin, you cannot prove anything about the din of someone who designates money for Bedek HaBayis, because Arachin is more kal in the fact that it's only about someone who takes an Erech vow of a Jewish person, Ben Chodesh Umayla. He has to have an Erech, he has to have some designated Erech in the Torah itself. But if someone takes an Erech vow, I'll give the Erech of that non-Jewish person, or that baby that's 2 weeks old, or a Tumtum, or an androgynous, where there's no clearly defined gender, then he's not going to be Chayiv. Whereas by Hegdish, if you say, I'll give the Damav of that non-Jew, of that two-week-old baby, of that tumtum, of that androgynous, one is going to be chayiv. So you see that you cannot prove from Arachin one way or the other when it comes to Hegdish. So anyway, so Ravin quotes a shita that's cholik about being misadrin for Hegdish. Rav Yochanan Amar, neder be'erkech haksiv, ma Arachin misadrin, af Hegdish misadrin. Now the pasuk says, neder be'erkech, so we, by Erachin, so since the Torah says, loshon of neder, when it comes to Eruchin, we darshin that the Torah itself is making a hekish. That just like we're misadrin for Arachin, so we're also misadrin for Hegdish. V'idach, and the other opinion, meaning Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah, who hold that we're not misader for Hegdish, for someone who takes a neder l'Hegdish. What do they do with that pasuk of neder ba'erkecha? Hahu l'nidon b'kvodo hu da'asa. That's coming to tell me that the limb that a person takes a neder on is nidon b'kvodo. What does that mean? Ma'arachin nidon b'kvodo. Just like when it comes to Arachin, we're nidon that limb bekvoda, that if a person is mechayiv himself to pay the value of a limb that's that a person's life depends on, like I'm going to pay the value of that fellow's head or that fellow's heart, so you have to pay the value of the entire person. We learn that from the pasuk Berakach Nefashos that the erech is nikva lefi hanefesh, so af hegdish nidon bekvoda. So too, if someone takes a neder to hegdish, that aver is nidon bekvoda. That if you take a neder l'hegdish for the value of an aver that a person needs in order to survive, you have to give hegdish the value of the entirety of the person. But we do not learn from that pasuk that we're misader for someone who's no delibetic abayis, just like we're misader for arachin, meaning it's a totally separate din. We learn from that pasuk that if I say that I'm going to give to hegdish the value of Ploni's heart, I have to give the value of Ploni of his entire value, having nothing to do with the din of misadrin. The Rishonim raised the question though that since we find this din of nidon bekvodo in a hekish between hegdish and arachin, shouldn't we therefore expand the hekish and also learn the din of misadrin from one to the other? Meaning the klal is that ein hekish lemechza. Chazal tells us that it's a gemara that ein hekish lemechza, that whenever you're applying a hekish, it becomes a two way street. It becomes a highway between those two dinim, and things dinim travel from one to the other. Legamri, we don't start limiting it. So Tosus and Dibra Maschel V'Idach says that since Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah learned from the Kalvachomer that in Misadrin LaHagdish, the Kalvachomer is Mevatal V'Limud of the Hekish, as far as that's concerned. That since you could still be Makish them for something else, Legami the din of Nidon B'Kvodo, so the Hekish can stand, the Kalvachomer can stand, and therefore they both stand. mean, normally ein chinami, when there's no competing drasha, ein hekish lemechza. But over here, there's another drasha, and therefore the hekish by definition is going to be limited. Okay, so the Gemara explains why is it that we don't learn the din of sidur of mesadron lebalchov from erichin itself. Says the Gemara, v'yisadru balchov kalvachomer me'arachin. Why don't we learn that mesadron balchov as a kalvachomer from arachin in the following way? Uma arachin she'in machzirin mesadrin balchov she'machzirin in adin she'mesadrin. If arachin that the Torah is makel on hekdesh and says that ein machzirin, you don't have to return the mashkonos that you took from the person who's chayiv the erech. And nevertheless, the Torah is mechayiv to be mesadrin and to make sure he has his basic needs. So balchov, where the Torah says machzirin, that you're going to have to give the lover back the mashkon as needed. So all the more so, it's mesadrin. Says Mar Amar Kra. Now the pasuk says when it comes to arachin, v'imachu me'erkecha. So we learn from there the din of mesadrin for arachin. Who velo balchov? That extra word who teaches me that it's a limitation, that this din of mesadrin is limited to arachin and does not apply to balchov. V'idach, and the Tanakama in our Mishnah, who holds that we are mesadrin balchov, what does he learn from the word who? So that it says by arachin, hi achi b'machuso mitchilas v'atzofo, that this pasuk tells me that we're only mesadrin for a person who is poverty stricken from the time of the neder until the time that the kohen starts to come to collect. But if he became wealthy after he took the neder, before the kohen is marichim, so you pay like the erech of an usher, because at that point he's already been an usher. So who is coming to tell me not that that this din is limited to the subject of the pasuk and not to anybody else, but to tell me that the subject of the pasuk needs to remain consistent? It needs to be who? He needs to remain in the same standing from beginning to end in order for the din in the pasuk to apply. So now the Gemara discusses why it is that Hegdish does not have to return a mashkon. I mean, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we're misadrin behegdish, why not say the opposite? V'yachziru behegdish, kal v'chomer balchov. I mean, we just kept on taking it as a given that we're not machzirin behegdish, and that was the basis for all these kal v'chomers. Well, maybe we should say that we do return a mashkon when it comes to Hegdish up until 30 days, kal v'chomer from balchov, that the malva has to return the mashkon for Shloshim Yom, and the limud goes as follows. Uma balchov she'in mesadrin, if a balchov, where we're not mesadrin for him, like we learn from the pasuk of who, that it says by arachin, that it's only for arachin and it's not for balchov, and nevertheless machzirin, but we're still going to be kind enough to be machzirin. So hegdish, a mesadrin, hegdish, where we are mesadrin, based on the limud that we had from arachin, ein odin shemachzirin, all the more so we should return the mashkon to hegdish. Sefer Trumos writes that even by a hediot, there's no chiyuv of hashavas haavot unless it's a chov that's derech halva'a, but not other chovos, meaning not every chov comes as a result of a loan. Sometimes I have a chov because I had an employee who worked for me and I just haven't paid him yet. That's also a chov. That's also considered. But we don't have such a din of hashavas haavot when it comes to that type of chov. So according to that, the Gemara is a little bit difficult. How can we learn hediot to hegdish through a kalvachomer? We could say that just like by hediot who takes a mashkon on a chov that's not derech halva'a, there is no chiyuv hashava. So too, when you're mechayiv yourself to hegdish, which is the case of our sugya, there should be no chiyuv hashava sa'avot because it's not derech halva'a. So that's ha'ara that the Chavetz Chaim has in Avas Chesed, that the limud over here that the Gemara has seems to not fit if you learn like the Sefer Trumos. The Sefer Trumos says that the whole din of Hashavas Avot does not apply when it's not derech halva. But anyway, this is the suggested kal v'chomer that the Gemara has, that we should say that by hegdish also we should be machzirin. So says Gemara, no, Amar Kra. Pasuk says when it talks about returning a mashkon, v'shachav b'salmaso uve rachecha. So since the pasuk talks about a bracha for someone who returns a mashkon, yatzah hegdish ain't tzaruch bracha. It means that it must be telling me that part of the motivation of returning a mashkon, or at least part of the reason the Torah requires a return of mashkon, is because that could be a source of bracha for the person who's owed the money, for the malva. Well, if the malva, so to speak, the one who's owed the money, is hegdish, hegdish does not require any bracha. And memela, the whole din of hashava does not apply to hegdish. So says Mar Velo, what, hegdish doesn't need bracha? Meichitesi vaksiv, doesn't it say when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta es Hashem Elokecha, you're supposed to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see that there's such an inyan of bracha klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So it's like this has become a philosophical question now, right? Meaning now we've gone from the world of halacha where there's a major overlap. And what exactly does that mean that we are mevarich HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all blessing. How can we be mevarich HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So as you might expect, the Nefesh HaChayim and Shaar Beis has a major discussion of what it means when we say Baruch Ato Hashem. What do you mean Baruch? I'm gonna give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he has a deep explanation that's not what it means. That it means something else. The Gemara says. So this is what the Gemara is struggling with right now. So it says Gemara Ella Amar Kra Uluchati Yatzdaka Misha Tzarik Tzedaka Yatzahag Deshein Tzarik Tzedaka. Okay, a different limud. Meaning Enochinami. Whatever it means, there is some sort of uverachta when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that can't be the limud from which we exclude, because whatever Virachta means in the context of Birchas HaMazon, it might mean the same thing in the context of returning the Hegdish, of Hegdish returning the item, like a Balchov. But there's another limud from the Pasuk. Pasuk says, L'chati Tzedaka, that when you return a Mashkon, you consider that you're giving Tzedaka to the person. So Hegdish does not require any Tzedaka, and therefore there's no returning of the Mashkon. It's ironic, right? Much of the Tzedaka, you know, the funds that we designate for Tzedaka are really designated for Bate Knesios and Bate Medrash and things like that. But in the conventional sense of Tzedaka, in terms of meaning what you can use Maaser Kesafim for versus what is the actual conventional definition of Tzedaka may be different, right? That Tzedaka means tzedakah for someone who's destitute, someone who's poor, someone who needs your assistance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need your assistance. Now the Gemara brings a discussion that happened between Rabbi Bar Avua and Eliyahu Navi, and it relates to this issue. Ashkei Rabbi Bar Avua Eliyahu Dekai Beis HaKvaros Shalav Dichavim. Eliyahu Navi, of all places, happened to be in a Beis HaKvaros of Dekochavim when Rabbi Bar Avua had found him. And now we're about to see a sugya where Rabbi Bar Avua asks Eliyahu Navi Shailos Halacha L'Maisa, and he relies on his answers. That in the Ran writes since Eliyahu Navi was Machria, the Shailos Mi Lanu Gadol Mimenu. Who can possibly argue who's greater than Eliyahu Navi? Now this is a little bit difficult because the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Ches has a suffix whether we write tefillin on Or Shel Dog Tahor. Can you use the skin of a kosher fish for writing tefillin? So Rav Nachman says Im Yavo Eliyahu V'yomar. So the Gemara says, what do you mean Im Yavo Eliyahu V'yomar? Rashi explains Eliyahu can't be machria a machlokas of Isser V'heter. We have a klal Loba Shemayimi. We had a very famous Gemara earlier on in this Masechta about Loba Shemayimi. The Tanu Shalachnoi, let the Kosei Beis HaMedrash be mochiach, let the rivers go upstream, etc. So over here we're being without any hesitation. Apparently we're just being machria Alachos based on Eliyahu Navi. So Maritz Chayis writes, he says this in a number of places, that what the Gemara means over there is Eliyahu cannot be machriya halacha just through his amira, but it's possible that if he comes and he gives a raya, he could be machriya halacha. He's no worse than any other Talmud Chacham who could be machriya halacha, meaning aside, we call him Eliyahu Hanavi because that was his most outstanding feature, but he also happened to have been a major Talmud Chacham, so just like any other major Talmud Chacham could be machriya halacha, so Eliyahu Navi could be machriya halacha as well. And over here, he gives tam, he gives explanations for what he says. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Chelik Vav, where he says that there are two ways that Eliyahu Navi is misgala. Sometimes he's misgala as a malach, like when Eliyahu malach habris, where we said kisei shel Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi comes to a bris milah, and we don't see him. Why don't we see him when he comes to a bris milah? Because typically we don't see malachim. So when he comes in the form of a malach, we cannot paskin like him. That's a loba shemayim he. But he also sometimes comes as a human, with a physical goof, and he appears as a living person, so then he's like any other living person that you could paskin like him. So it's pashut that the halacha would be like him because he has a din of gedolei chachmei Yisrael. And in this situation, the Rabbi Baravua, he must have appeared as a living person. And we're going to see, because the Gemara is going to say that he asked him how he's allowed to be tummy in the Beis HaKvaros. After all, you're a Kohen. That Shaila wouldn't be Shaykh by a Malach. He's a Malach. He's not in he has no dinim of not going to Beis HaKvaros. You can't be metame your guf. You can't be metame your nefesh or whatever a Malach comes as. So that's a raya, says Chassam Sofer, that he came malubash in a guf in this situation. So the Yonavi takes on different forms. So those are the two mahalchim. Maritz Chai is that as long as he brings a raya, it's perfectly fine. You can paskin. And the Chassam Sofer, that it depends which type of Eliyahu HaNavi shows up. So anyway, so he found him in the Beis HaKvaros of Avdi Chavimah. So Amrlei, Rabbi Ravua said to him, Ma'ushay, son of Balchav, oh, so glad to meet Eliyahu HaNavi. First question, top of his mind, Ma'ushay, son of Balchav. Right, again, you see, you would think he would ask about the secrets of the universe, this or that. No, this is the sukkah he was holding in. That's what was on his mind. I was just davening somewhere yesterday. Someone came over to me after Milcha and said, oh, Rabbi Lubis, have you been thinking about anything interesting lately? That was the question. Like, very open-ended. I like to think. I think about a lot of interesting things. But it's an interesting question to ask someone. It's a little bit strange, right? But you'll probably get a lot of interesting answers to that question. So if your mind is occupied with learning, you'll get an interesting piece of learning. So that's what was on his mind. Ma'ushay sadru balchov. So Eliyahu responded to him, Gomar micha micha me'arachid. He said, oh, I'm glad you asked. We have a gezeira shava where it says mach, both by arachin and by balchov. Gai by arachin ksiv vi'im mach hu me'erkecha. Gai by balchov ksiv v'chi yomu chachicha. So just like we're masadrin for arachin, and we don't collect all of the fellow's kelim, we leave him with something. So too by balchov, we're masadrin, we leave him with the kelim that he needs in order to be able to live his life. So the Maisa continues, and that's the reason we brought that Maisa, for that little conversation. But in addition, Rabbi Ravua asked, minayin la'arum shalo yitrom. How do I know that a person who is naked, who doesn't have any clothing, should not be mafresh truma from his peros and make a bracha on the hafrasha as he's being mafresh? The Rashi and Tosafot point out that the real need over here is about the bracha, not really about shalo yitrom, that you're not allowed to do a mitzvah. One can do mitzvos while they are not dressed, but one cannot recite a bracha on a mitzvah when they are not dressed. Tichsiv lo yiravcha ervas davar, because it says lo yiravcha ervas davar, so we darshan it as if it says ervas dibur, that when a person wants to say davar shebekedusha, there cannot be erva. That's the Mishnah in Maseches Chala, where the Mishnah says that an isha is yosheves umafreshes chala kshiyaruma, that a woman could sit and if she's sitting down, her erva is covered, and therefore she could be mafresh chala when she is aruma. But a man cannot, because his erva will not be covered. This is very, very different than the din of a person who's davening, right? A person who's davening, let's say a person is wearing pants, but they're not wearing a shirt, right? So you can't daven like that. It's also to daven like that, because that's not only about covering the erva. When it comes to davening, a person has to be dressed the way they would be if they're omed lufnei amelech. So that's an entirely different din. But when it comes to, because that's, you're directly addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to reciting a bracha, you simply can't have the erva covered. It's a shaila about doing mitzvos. Is there any limitation on doing mitzvos in a makom metunaf or something like that? So I think we discussed a while ago, someone asked me the shaila that they realized that they hadn't counted svira, things they were in the bathroom at that time. So they allowed to just say what day of svira it was while they're in the bathroom. So the poskim discussed that, whether a performance of a mitzvah is problematic in a makom metunaf. But anyway, our Gemara is assuming that a person who's not wearing clothing is 100% allowed to do a mitzvah. Shaila is about the bracha, and the answer is no. He's not allowed to say a bracha. So Amaleis, Rabbi Ravua says, Lav Kohen Umar, aren't you a Kohen? Because Eliyahu is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas is Eliyahu, and you're not allowed to be Metami L'Mesim. So my time, a Kohen Umar, Bebeis HaKvaros. What on earth are you doing in a Beis HaKvaros? Tosus raises the question from the Maisa that's quoted in the Navi, that the daughter of the Almana that Elio lived in the house of, that the son rather of the Almana that Elio lived by had died, and Elio took him and brought him up to a room, Vayismodid alayelad shalosh pamim, Vayikra al Hashem, and Vayishma Hashem b'kol Elio. He did Tchias HaMesim, but how did he do Tchias HaMesim? He lied down on the body. So how is he allowed to do that? How is a Kohen allowed to, if Elio is a Kohen, how could he lie down on the body? Gemara doesn't ask that kasha. Tosus asks that kasha. So Tosus says he knew that he would be successful, and therefore it's Pikoch Nefesh and it's Docha Kala Torah Kula. So it's Pikoch Nefesh because you could bring the guy, he knew that he would be able to bring the kid back to life. It's strange that Tosus says because he knew he would be successful. And if he didn't know he would be successful, it's a Suffolk Pikoch Nefesh. And Suffolk Pikoch Nefesh is also Docha Kala Torah Kula. So that Nitziv asks in Hamik Shela, and he says that since he died, he's no longer Bechlal Adam. So you can't be over in Avera to be Mechayim unless you know for sure that you can be able to be Mechayim. Whereas Suffolk Pikoch Nefesh, he's still an Adam because he's still, normally Suffolk Pikoch Nefesh is the guy still alive. So if the guy's still alive, he's still an Adam. So it's different Klalim. The Achronim have a difficult time with this Tosus. Pikoch nefesh for a dead person? That's a pikoch nefesh means to keep a person alive. For a dead person, being mechayim esim is called pikoch nefesh. So that's how the Netziv, sort of sorts it out. That, if you know for sure you can give him his life back, then it's pikoch nefesh for a dead person as well. So anyway, so Rabbi Arbu asked him, what are you doing in Beis HaKfaros? Somebody, lomas nimar taharos, don't you know Seder taharos? The Tanya, the Brisa tells Rabbi Shimon Chayomer, kevrei shalavichom in metamin. It's a kevrei of navichom, so some metamin, because the pasuk says in Yecheskel that tain tzon itzon marisia adam itam, so we darshan adam atem, we darshan atem kriin adam ve'en of the chum kriin adam, that only Jewish people are considered adam legabi the pasuk of zos haTorah adam ki yamos ba'ohel, where it describes tumas ohel. So we see that only Jewish people are included in that parsha. So amalei ba'arba'a lomatzina b'shi. He says he expects me to know Seder Taharos. I have a hard enough time with Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, and Kachim, which are halachas that are relevant all the time. And when one learns Torah, the clear understanding of this Gemara is that when one learns Torah, one needs to prioritize those parts that are halacha lemaisa over those parts that are not halacha lemaisa. Right? One's primary avodah in learning Torah is la suki shmeitza aliba dehilchasa. So we have to make sure, as Rav Shatov often points out, that the Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave Pilpul L'Shel Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody else he just gave the dinim to. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was knowing Tovas Ayin. Moshe Rabbeinu was so generous that he shared the Pilpul L'Shel Torah with us as well. And therefore we have the ability to be Mefaltel. But Mavur Misham, that the Iker of Talmud Torah is to know the dinim, to know what you need to know in order to know the halachos. So it's not so stylish in yeshivas nowadays to emphasize that, but that's really what the emphasis should be. So Amalei, so Leo said, Vamai, why aren't you a baki in everything? So Amalei, dechikali milsa, I have a difficult time with parnasa, so since I'm always busy with parnasa, how can I learn up to my potential? So Dabri va'ele l'Gan Eden. So Leo brought him to Gan Eden. Amalei, Leo said to Rabba, pshot klimach, take off your frock. So Safi shakal mahani tarfi, and come and take from these branches that are here in Gan Eden, from these leaves in Gan Eden, and fill up your clothing with them like a sack. So Safa shakal, he did exactly that. He have enough. When it came time to leave from Gan Eden, Shamad Ka'amar, he heard a voice that was saying, Man ka ochel alme, who's eating from this olam? I mean, he's taking his chelik in olam abak, Rabba Baravua, that by taking these leaves, he's being memayed ischar in Gan Eden lost. So Nafat Shadinu, Rabba shook out his clothing to drop all those leaves. He didn't want to take his schar and olma ba right now. And even though he didn't take the leaves themselves, Asil Glime, he brought his the jacket that he had that the leaves were in, the Sachat Glima Recha, and there was a certain reyach of Gan Eden that it had. Zabne betreis alfi dinre palginu lechas navase, and he was able to sell that amazing smelling jacket for 12,000 dinar because of that otherworldly smell, literally, and he was able to divide that money with his sons-in-law to support everybody in learning. Tanu Rabbanu, we have a brisa. V'im ish ani hu lo tishkav ba'avoto. So it sounds from the lashon of the pasuk that he should not use his mashkon, because if you give him a beged as a mashkon, he shouldn't sleep in it. And we're medayik ha'ashir shachiv. But if the person is an ish ashir, if the love is an ashir, then you're allowed to be shochev with the beged that he gives as a mashkon. So my ka'amar, what exactly does the brisa mean? It can't be that the malva is allowed to use the mashkon of the wealthy ashir, because it turns out that he's being nene from the moment of the lova. That would be an isaribis, meaning if I'm getting hanav from the mashkon, plus you're going to pay me back in full. That seems like a problem of ribis. So I'm Rav Sheshes hachi ka'amar. No, what it means to say is, v'imish ani hu lo tishkav, right, b'avoto, v'avoto etzlecha. But the avot stays with you, and you can't have the avoto etzlecha. It can't stay with you, you have to return it. Oh, but ha'ashir shachiv v'avoto etzlecha. But wait, if the person is an ashir and he doesn't need these pajamas back, he has 10 pairs of pajamas, so then you can go to sleep and still keep this avot, still keep this mashkon, even as you're going to sleep. Another price. So Tanu Rabban Hamalvis Chaveiro Einu Rashi L'Mashkino Veinu Chayv L'Hachzilo Vover B'Kol Hashem Asalalu. So someone who's who lends money to his friend is not allowed to take a mashkon. He doesn't have to return it to him, and he violates all these shemos. So all the psukim of Hashem Tashiv Lo Savot Lo Tishkav Bavoto Ad Bo Hashem Tishivenu Lo. So my comer, what is this price we're talking about? Why does it start out by saying Einu Chayv L'Hachzilo? The Torah says you do have to return it to him, and also the Tanu himself says, and because you don't return it to him, you're a violation of everything. Well, then why did you tell me I don't have to return it to him if I'm going to violate everything when I don't return it to him? So I'm Rav Sheshes, Hachi Kamar. No. This is what the Brisa means to say. Hamalvas Chavero Eino Rashai Lemashkino. If you lend money, you're not allowed to take a mashkon on your own. That's the Mishnah that we learned on Kofiud Gimel Amud Aleph, that you need Beis Din to be involved to take the mashkon. And we should change the girsa in the Hemshech of the Brisa. And here's what it should read. V'im Mishkino, and if you violated that, and on your own you went and you took a mashkon, chayiv lahachzilo. You better give it back. Not eino chayiv lahachzilo. It's a little bit of a word change. It's critical. But chayiv lahachzilo. So based on that, and therefore, va'over b'kol Hashem asalalu, aseifa. And that's that idea that you're in violation of all these halachos is going on the seifa, on the second din of the brisa. That if you took a mashkon, you have to return it. And if you didn't return it, then you're chayiv b'kol Hashemos halalu. Rava explains the brisa differently. So that is what Rav Sheshes' explanation of the brisa. But Rava says, Rava Amar, nah, you don't have to say that the words ve'eino chayiv lahachzilo are a mistake, and really it reads chayiv lahachzilo. That's too much. Hachi kamar, here's how to explain the brisa as written in a way that makes sense. Hamalvas chavero eino rashi lemashkino. If your malvas chavero, you're not permitted to take a mashkon on your own. And the Tana skips the next din, and we have to Tana skips the next din, which we need to stick in on our own, which is v'mishkino chayv lahachzilo. That if you do take a mashkon, you have to return it to him. Bamed var mamurim, when do you have to return it to him? That's only shemishkino shelo b'shas halva aso, that you took the mashkon not at the time of the loan, al yidei beis din. Meaning you didn't do it in the way that the Mishnah said that a mashkon ought to be taken. Avol mishkano b'shas halva aso. But if you took the mashkon b'shas halva aso, so then einu chayv lahachzilo. Then you don't have to return it to him. Meaning since the din of a shavus a mashkon is only on a mashkon that was taken b'derech chavala, meaning that you took something that malva took the mashkon al yidei beis din after the zman halva'a, and not a mashkon that was given to him al yedei the alva at the time of the alva, and therefore va'over b'chol Hashem osalalu, and therefore the over b'chol Hashem osalalu is not going on the seifa, because mashkon b'shas alva aso you don't have to return it at all, but rather a resha over b'chol Hashem osalalu is going on the resha that you took the mashkon shelo b'shas alva, that if you don't return the mashkon, then you're in violation of kol yisurim ha'elu, of all of these different yisurim. So now the Gemara brings another brisa. Tani Rav Shizvi kamei de Rava. He taught the following brisa. The pasuk says im chabol tachbol salmas reyecha, and it says ad bo hashemesh tishivenu lo. So zo ksus layla. That's a reference. What the pasuk is referring to is ksus layla, that it should stay in the rishus of the lova the entire day. So we're saying ad bo hashemesh, meaning until the sun sets and nighttime comes, then tishivenu lo, it should be in the in the possession of the lova. Whereas hashev tashiv lo asavot kiva hashemesh zok sus yom. When it says hashev tashiv lo asavot kiva hashemesh v'shachav b'salmaso, that's referring to daytime clothing that it gets returned at night. So Amalei, so Rava asked Rav Shizvi, according to this price, it turns out that the malva returns the guy his daytime clothing just in time for night, and his nighttime clothing just in time for day. That's ridiculous. So the guy is going to walk around all day in his pajamas, and he's going to go to sleep in his tuxedo. That seems absurd. So Amalei Isaime. So he says we can't learn that brisa. That brisa is a little messed up, obviously. So Amalei Lo. He said no. Don't get rid of that brisa. I mean, he was asking Isaime, should I just get rid of that brisa because it's backwards? So Hachikaber. No, what the brisa means is Ad Bo Hashemesh Tishiven Lo Zok Sus Yom, and therefore when he returns it in the morning, and when the Bryce says in that pasuk zok sus laila, it means shenit nalach bal balayla. It means the ksus that was nit nalach bal balayla, but biyom the malva has to return it. Meaning it was the ksus, not an actual nighttime clothing. It was the kind of clothing that the malva can hang on to during the night, which means it was daytime clothing. Hashiv tashiv lo asavot kevah hashemesh zok sus laila. What does zok sus laila mean? Shenit nalach bal biyom. It means that the type of clothing that you're allowed to hang on to during the day, which is actually nighttime clothing that you're allowed to hang on to during the day. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Everyone have a great day and a good Shabbos.